Please take a moment here just to settle in, everyone, and allow yourself to vibrate with the frequency of these words. I stand before you unprepared, having already forgiven myself and you for how you do or do not receive me. What I create and share, what I imagine, think, believe, perceive, and dream of dreaming into life, into form. I stand before you unprepared, unshaken and shaken, exhilarated, excited, not knowing what will happen at this fork in the road, casting simultaneously an invitation and a warning that this might work, and it might not work. And though unprepared I be, I still stand right here, ready to dance with fear, yours and mine, ready to look you in the eye and do the work that matters. And so I say to you this, here, I made this. It's my fault. It was my idea. I decided to do it. I don't want to be another bird looking for a cage that takes away her freedom. I search for tension, looking for something that might not work, because therein lies the opportunity to create something that truly matters, right there, right here, in the heart of tension, at the spine of discomfort, at the feet of this might work, it might not work. It matters. I'm taking my turn. And I hope you do too. Well, hello everyone. This is Diana Bertoldo, and I want to welcome you to today's Unleash Your Brilliance activation. What you just heard me share with you was a spoken word activation inspired by my own journey through the book that I'm going to be sharing with you today, which is Seth Godin's What to Do When It's Your Turn. For those of you who already know me, welcome back. It's really good to see you guys. Your smiley faces in my back end here. I see you. And for those of you who are joining me for the first time, thank you for coming. It's really good to have you here, too. I am an energist and mentor for creatives who want to experience their life and business in an ever-expansive state of flow, freely expressing yourselves creatively, unleashed, and, yes, wildly successful. And if you happen to be unfamiliar with the term energist, well, that just means that I've got essentially a foot in both worlds. The physical and the non-physical. And that gives me the ability to identify and clear the non-physical patterns of limitation that often show up in your energy field so that you can experience the reality of your choosing without any of those invisible blocks that, you know, tend to get in our way, right? So you should know that from where I stand, there can never be enough art and creativity in the world. I am driven by creativity, yours and mine, and also driven by the desire to experience my world as this ever-changing work of art. Now, some of my favorite artists happen to be writers, and I truly believe that any book worthy of reading is likewise worthy of unifying with, embodying. And work that matters, art that has the capacity to transform our lives in glorious, glorious ways, it requires our presence and our rumination, of taking the time to show up all in with all levels of our being, and daring to marinate in the content long enough so that we just can't help but be truly changed by it, right? Bettered and inspired to do more of the work that matters to us. And yet, What I notice more often than not, with myself included, unfortunately, is that we all have a tendency to rob ourselves of that opportunity, right? And I really think that's a shame. Our world is so fast-paced that we've become these skimmers and scanners instead of embodied masters, right? Much juicier there, right? Embodied masters, yes. I mean, we live with the fear of missing out, yet we still struggle to presence ourselves, to truly give ourselves to the content before us, even when we believe it could actually hold the solutions, the transformation, and the inspired direction that we actually came for in the first place. And then we're on to the next thing, skimming and scanning again, and we're missing still that invitation to ruminate, to receive, and to embody what we actually came for. Now, during my first read of What to Do When It's Your Turn, page after page, I kept finding myself making a plea to the universe. And that plea was this. May all readers unify with these precious and powerful words. And it's really from that space that this event was born. I knew I was being called to play a bigger part in supporting that unification. So here I am. And so today, I've created a space for you really to do just that, to marinate and unify with some of the premises and passages that I've selected to share with you from Seth's book, because I believe this body of work truly has the capacity to change each of us for the better, and especially as artists. And dare I say, especially as successful artists, okay? So I'm going to be taking you on a journey of sorts over here, one that I've designed to really stir some stuff up within you, within those places in consciousness where the thoughts and habits of limitation may be blocking you from perhaps more freely creating, more freely putting yourself out there and taking your turn, right? Taking your turn happily and please, unapologetically. Yes. So as I read and as you listen and as we stir things up, the collective energy field of this group is going to be flooding the space with tons and tons of information. And I'm going to be clearing the energetic patterning that reveals itself as blocks and weaknesses that could impede your ability to truly merge with the content so that you can successfully really receive and integrate the breakthroughs and transformation that you came here for today. Okay? So my intention really is that when you leave here today, when all of you guys leave here, I want you to feel more aligned and inspired to take your turn than ever before. That's my mission with you guys here. Now, I also realize that it may have been many a moons ago since you've had the pleasure of someone reading to you. Yeah? Like maybe since, I don't know, kindergarten? And if that's the case, I'd like to offer you just a few pointers. So from time to time, I'm going to be giving you some prompts over here. Most of them are breathing prompts. And they're just going to support you in participating and integrating. So when I do, please follow along if you are game for that, because it really will allow you to integrate more fruitfully. Also, when I go in and I do some of the energetic clearing today, you're going to hear me identifying and clearing the energetic limitations that are showing up in the field of the group that's live with me here now, and also for those listening to the recorded version of this event. What I want you to know is this. There's no need to get too heady about anything that I'm tracking and clearing, right? I don't want you to get lost in thinking mind here. I want you to get lost in receiving and marinating, right? So instead, I recommend that you let yourself experience whatever it is you're experiencing without judgment, and especially without needing to figure any of it out, okay? Just know that our mission is to shift the energy in service of you taking your turn and making your mark freely and successfully, And that's really all you need to know, right? That's our mission. Now, my suggestions are going to be this. As I take a swig of water. Okay. So this is not your average webinar, right? With that said, really, please follow suit. I invite you to kick your shoes off. Seriously. Kick your shoes off, get comfy, shut down any electronic distractions, kill those social media windows, and let yourself be present. Let yourself relax and unwind. You're here to ruminate and receive, okay? Also, I want to invite you to just please trust in wherever your imagination and insights happen to take you during and even after this experience today. And then toward the end of our time together, I'm going to be sharing a few opportunities for you to multiply the effects of the work we're doing here today, so that you can just kind of gain even more momentum in the days and the weeks to come here after you leave, okay? And most of all, as we dive in, please give yourself permission to freely coexist with the energy of being unprepared, right? Being unprepared is a big theme in Seth's book, and I'll be reading more about it as we progress here. But I say we start practicing that energetic state now, practicing embracing it now, okay? So this is your opportunity. Give yourself permission to be beautifully unprepared for what's about to unfold next, beyond any planning or expectations of today, okay? All right. My beloved rock stars, I believe we are ready. So let's just have everyone take a deep cleansing breath in with me, please. And a deep breath out. And just settle into your body and into your surroundings. And then into this new moment with me. Relax. Eyes closed and inward focused for our journey here, okay? So we're going to dive in with what Seth has to say about freedom and change. Usually when we say it's your turn, we mean that it's your turn to be picked, to be the next one. The person who fits in more than any other. The next pop star on the cover of 17. The next news anchor. The next plant manager. Or the next customer at the deli. This is the model in which you wait for change to happen to you. Another model of your turn, though, is the model of the person who makes change. We seek the change that is interesting. The change for the better. And most of all, the change that connects us to someone else. This is the freedom to make change and the willingness to seek out the tension it brings. Deep breath in, everyone. Deep breath out. Unprepared. Is there anything worse we can say about you and your work? But the word means two things, not just one. There is the unprepared of a final exam, of forgetting your lines, of showing up to a gunfight with a knife. This is the unprepared of the industrial world, the unprepared of being an industrial cog in an industrial system, but a cog that is out of whack, disconnected, and poorly maintained. What about the other kind, though? We are unprepared to do something for the first time always. We are unprepared to do something for the first time always. We are unprepared to create a new kind of beauty, to connect with another human in a way that we've never connected before. We are unprepared for our first bestseller or for a massive failure unlike any we've ever seen before. We are unprepared to fall in love and to be loved. We are unprepared for the reaction when we surprise and delight someone. and we are always unprepared for the next breakthrough. We've been so terrified into believing in the importance of preparation that it's spilled over into the other realm, the realm of life where we have no choice but to be unprepared. If you demand that everything that happens be something you are adequately prepared for, we wonder if you've chosen never to leap in ways that we need you to leap. Breathe in. Breathe out. I had no choice. This, of course, is a wonderful thing to be able to say if your hope is to be off the hook. When we talk about how we had no choice, how our options were constrained, how we were following instructions or orders or the map, it's not our fault. It's not our fault. How delicious is that feeling? No freedom, no responsibility. You had no choice. So how could you possibly be responsible? You've already guessed. We always have a choice. It might be accurate to say, if I wanted to not rock the boat, not make a ruckus, not risk something dear to me, I had no choice. But no choice at all? We willfully create the illusion that we have no choice because it's frightening to be free. We willfully create the illusion that we have no choice because it's frightening to be free. Breathe in. Breathe out. A bird in search of a cage. So much freedom, so much choice, so many opportunities to matter. And yet, our cultural instinct is to find a place to hold us, a spot where we are safe from the obligation and the opportunity to choose. Because if we choose, then we are responsible, aren't we? The cage keeps us in, certainly, but it also keeps everything else out. It protects us from a world that we've decided offers pitfalls, not opportunities. Kafka wrote about the cage in search of a bird, a trap that was incomplete until it had found something to trap. But the reverse is more true and sadder still. We're often birds that are unhappy until we find a cage that takes our freedom away. Breathe in. Breathe out. The fear of stupidity. Stupid is not uncommon. Stupid is the way we feel when working on a difficult problem. Stupid is the emotion associated with learning. We are stupid, and then we are not. The pre-learning state is stupidity. The pre-learning state is stupidity. A scientist might work 10 years on solving a problem of math or logic or biology or a lifetime. And until the problem is solved, she's stupid. And then she isn't. Which is fine, actually. The problem comes with the emotion we're supposed to feel when we feel stupid. Fear. We are supposed to be afraid of stupid. To get stupid over with as soon as we can. Change, of course, makes everyone feel stupid because change breaks all the old rules, inventing new ones. Rules we don't know yet. And so the equation is obvious. Change leads to stupid, which leads to afraid. One way to avoid this is to avoid change. One way to avoid this is to avoid freedom. The best way to avoid this is to embrace stupid and skip the last part. There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing except avoiding the feeling of stupid. And stupid is a good thing. Deep breath in, everyone. Deep breath out. It will all be okay. This often repeated phrase might mean everything will turn out the way you want it to, but it doesn't. In fact, it never turns out that way. It actually means something will happen. And whatever happens, you can figure out what to do with that. Because by defining what happens as okay, we open the door to accepting our work and our world and our quest to make things that matter. Creative, dynamic, and happy people have invented a monologue built around taking the work seriously, not personally, and in accepting that it will all be okay. Because after all, what's the alternative? Breathe in. Breathe out. All right, so we're just going to dive into the field here and do some clearing with everything we've just been kicking up there. So just relax on into your bodies. Okay, so I just want to scan for what's really primarily at the surface here in the way of you guys taking your turn, especially versus doing the waiting game thing. Show me. Okay, the majority what's coming up all has to do with reverse perceptions, right? It's like seeing things backwards. And a lot of those are swarming around arguments around other people's interpretations too. And I'm just getting like hundreds of them shooting in. So how many do we have collectively here? Oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah, we've got over 10,000 here for the group. So we're just going to clear all of those and we're going to invert those down to zero minus infinity and harmonize at all levels, all dimensions, and all lifetimes. And right as I do that, there's like this, you guys are showing me lines of everyone, like shoving in line. So there's a lot of issues around whose place, it's almost like whose turn is it anyway, right? Everyone's trying to figure out this game called whose turn is it anyway. So everywhere that, because what you're showing me is this tension, like this aggressive tension that a lot of you don't want to get involved with, and that's kind of keeping you going, well, I'll just back out of line here. I won't take my turn yet, right? And there's a lot of that kind of like the biggest guy wins sort of energy, the strongest guy wins sort of energy, and none of that's actually really relevant or true in terms of actually what's playing out. It's like you're leaning into that story, but it's a bunch of BS. So we're just going to wrap up that bunch of BS, if you don't mind, and we're going to shoot that through a body, mind, spirit triad and all associated issues that are assorted and going with that. We're putting them inside as well, and we're going to layer also a past, present, future triad. I'm going to layer this directly over your full body here, the full body of the group. And inside that, okay, we're getting a bunch of emotional issues coming up around taking your term. Okay. It's almost like there's this, we think of our memory in this lifetime, but there's like the cellular memory of having taken your turn and things gone sideways is how you're showing it to me. You're like, I've been collecting all the sideways stories of taking my turn, like from this lifetime, this one, and you're just going on and on about, so that's a huge amount of pressurized energy that you're storing currently in your system there. So I'm just going to check in and see, are you guys strong to me wiping that out? You are. Are you strong to holding on to it and just integrating it a different way? You're strong to both. So which way do we go? Yeah. Hands are going out, going, wipe it out. Okay. So we're just going to invert all of that additional stuff that, like, the additional impact and pressure that you're carrying forward from lifetime to lifetimes. And let's just sort of reset you to now timing versus taking all that stuff with you. Okay. So we're going to harmonize you to that at all levels, all dimensions, and all lifetimes. Take a deep breath in, please. Deep breath out. Okay. So we have frequencies 18, 16, and 15 coming into the field, and they're wanting to kind of move in here, integrate, and sort of swim around you. So we're going to take 15, we're looping that up around the neck piece here. Okay, and then it's going to shoot out through the crown, and we're going to activate that. And the other two frequencies are just mixing in with it, so I don't even need to actually direct them. Okay, good. So let's just make you 100% strong 100% of the time to that at all levels, all dimensions, and all lifetimes. And let's go back to taking your turn. Yeah. Okay. Another big component is you've usually received a lot of bad advice around taking your turn. And there's actually just a lot of negative feelings toward those that you've received the bad advice from. But it's become this excuse to not take your turn. So everywhere you're using everybody else's bad advice from this lifetime, past lifetimes, parallel, and future lifetimes as your excuse to not take your turn now. And some of you are like, oh, but it really damaged me. It did this to me. It did. Yeah, yeah, I know. It sucks. We've all had bad advice before. But we want you to move beyond that and not ever use that as an excuse. That actually just takes your power away. So everything that is, we're just going to ball up those cords. We're going to put those into a conscious, unconscious, non-conscious mind triad, and we're just going to clear those from the field at all levels, all dimensions, and all lifetimes. Take another deep breath in, please. Deep breath out. Tapping your heart center. You can do this with your three middleest fingers on your left or right hand, doesn't matter. Just gently over your sternum, tap three times, please. One, two, three. And then say the word now out loud. Don't worry, none of us will hear you. Great. And stepping into this now moment. Okay. Okay. You're also showing me just some traumas associated with taking your turn. Really interesting that 98% of them don't belong to you, so it actually comes from a witnessing stance, like what you've witnessed. Yeah, and you've witnessed some, okay, yeah, okay, some significantly scary stuff. I'll give you that. And so there's this fear to sort of step up and do that. You've also got this rude energy coming in, too, like everywhere that you've been told that stepping up and taking your turn equates to being rude. Asking for too much, like all those kind of scenario snippets. Let's just clear those. Let's clear the memories and imprints of those as well, right down to the quantum level for you, clearing all energetic weaknesses to that. And let's make you 100% strong 100% of the time to all those kinds of commentaries that actually try and talk you out of taking your turn, okay? So clearing those from the field as well. Okay, so let's go back and track again. Show me what else. We also have identity issues. There are 4,302 for this group. And identity issues happening at the soul level, too. So it's entwined. So all the ideas, yeah, they're all related to soul issues, too. So we're just going to clear those. Okay. And you're showing me them weaving into these different life structures. So we're going to clear those also at the mental level, emotional level, psychological level, and psychic level for you, clearing those out and harmonize. Okay. So we're going to eliminate, free, independent, release, protect, restore, regenerate, renew, reinvigorate now, harmonize. So I'm going to go back and test you, taking your turn. Okay, that feels stronger. Okay. And everywhere that you're still holding on to, there's a lot of interesting stuff around age and timing and all of that and waiting too long. It's like angst about waiting versus taking your turn. And then there's this energy going to waiting too long, waiting too long, wait. Like, let's just, so everywhere the mind just wants to go there and get, how many triggers do we have? Okay, you guys have over 5 million triggers for this group just on that. So we want to clear those out. We want to clear out the accumulative effects of those down to zero minus infinity also. All levels, all dimensions, and all lifetimes. Take a deep breath in, please, everyone. Deep breath out. Tapping your heart center again with your three middleest fingers on either hand. One, two, three. And saying the word now out loud. And stepping into this now moment. For those of you who don't know, me having you walk through that pattern and then tapping your heart center, it sort of acts like a reset button for your nervous system, and it just breaks up the energy a lot quicker so I can see what's still remaining over here that needs to be cleared. Okay. All right, that looks good. All right, let's dive back into some readings. That seems like a good, I'm just going to let that softness kind of settle in for you guys there. On living in two futures at once. Every time you take your turn, you're seeking to make change happen. And there's no guarantee that it will. Which means there's a fork in the road. This might work. This might not work. And beyond the fear of failure is the tension of living in two different futures. In order to engage with our ideas, to flesh out our approach, we start envisioning how it will work, what it'll feel like. We begin to live inside that future, a future that might not happen. How big a roller coaster? I hope we can agree that a roller coaster that fails to thrill isn't much of a ride. But who decides what thrilling is? Why do some people crave even bigger coasters while others have trouble with even a small one? I confess that I went from being hooked on them, the bigger the better, to avoiding them altogether as I got older. The element that makes them thrilling, then, isn't the coaster. It's the experience we create in our head. And that experience comes from encountering two things at once. The knowledge that this thing is tested, safe, and proven, combined with the innate feeling that at any moment we are going to die, together at the same time. Fun, not fun. Work, not work. Successful, not successful. Without this tension, there's no true freedom. Nothing happening when it's our turn. Breathe in. Breathe out. In search of tension. Sooner or later, it comes to this. Great work is the result of seeking out tension, not avoiding it. Great work doesn't require reassurance. In fact, it avoids it. I'm looking for something that might not work. Worth it. Breathe in. Breathe out. Yes, it's personal. Can we just say that out loud? When it's your turn, it's your turn. You own it. Your choice. Your freedom. Your responsibility. Whenever the status quo is threatened by an outsider, the insiders fight back. If you are doing things right, if you are upsetting the status quo, you will be criticized for your hoodie or your lack of education, your accent or imperfect background. They call names, denigrate, and put up barriers. People who don't act like those in power, look like those in power, or talk like those in power are treated as a threat. Until the new normal arrives, it's not fair. It's not right. But it's true. Change hurts. Do it anyway. It's personal. And it matters. Breathe in. Breathe out. When was the last time you did something for the first time? When it's your turn, the cultural instinct is to launch the safe balloon, to keep your head down and create a predictable response, to play a greatest hit, not something new and dangerous. And that's a shame. It's your turn to write a blog post, call an old friend, start a podcast. It's your turn to say thank you, to apologize, to ask a difficult question. It's your turn to help a competitor, to find value where it's been overlooked, to teach someone who is waiting to be taught. There are countless reasons not to do this. There are countless reasons not to do this. Practical, time-based, financially prudent reasons to avoid just about all the things you're avoiding. But the opportunity is profound. It's the opportunity to dance with your fear, to look people in the eye, and to do work that matters. Breathe in. Breathe out. All right, so I just want to go into the field again here, and I want to look at what's keeping us from dancing with that fear. And what's keeping us from just really kind of living a little more in flow with that tension that Seth talks about, right? The work, not work, successful, not successful. So let's go in and scan for that. Okay. Well, so one of the first pieces that comes up are psychic influence, actually. Some of these psychic influences are coming in from ancestors, and you're showing me up to seven lifetimes back. Okay. So let me just track that, and I'm just going to, okay. And they're all kind of, it's almost like they're plugging into you. They're plugging into the spaces where you're still holding dead issues, right? So I want to correct you to those spaces. First, I want to correct you to those ancestors. So you do those ancestors that are plugging in there. You to them, them to you, you and them to the universe back to you and them, correct and harmonize all levels, all dimensions, and all lifetimes. I'm going to go in and just cut those cords as well. Okay. Seeking out the tension. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so the other piece that's coming in, there's some old karmas and reverse perceptions that are showing up here. We have 210 for the whole group in terms of karmas. So I want to toss those into a past, present, and future triad. We're going to put those in. And I'm going to layer that with a money, slavery, and posterity triad. And we're just going to clear everything inside there. And we're going to eliminate independent, protect, restore, regenerate, now. That's interesting. As I do that, like the nervous system's getting really shaky and sort of bubbling up. There's a lot of heat going on in there. So I just want to scan on the spine here. I feel like we need to alleviate some pressure in there, and we do. So we're going to optimize space between C3 and C2, and I'm being taken directly to T12. Show me what's necessary. It's interesting. You're showing me like stomach issues / worry issues being stored here. And you're showing me them just cycling out just through a ton of different lifetimes. So I want to clear out those stomach / worry issues because they're being recycled. You're showing me the recycling system that's going on there. And it's almost like, oh, it's weird to be like recycling toxic stories and toxic memories there. So we're going to clear all of that out. Okay, clear and harmonize. Okay, take a deep breath in, please. Deep breath out. Great, okay. And we're just going to bring in frequency 18. We're just going to insert that and activate it right at T12 for you. So inserting now, activate. And harmonize. We're going to make you strong to that correction. Okay. So coming back again, let's see. What's keeping you from dancing with fear? Okay. There's just a lot of death patterns showing up, right? An awful lot of death patterns. I want to say physical death patterns, but also metaphorical death patterns that are showing up. Yeah, and it's interesting because it's almost like you're still able to track particular death patterns, metaphorical and physical ones from past lifetimes. So it's almost like because of all the past lifetime activity, you're like, well, I don't want to do it that way. So you're not tracking just stuff in this lifetime, but you're tracking stuff from past lifetimes. So you're really narrowing the channels by which you can be, honestly, like living in that space of tension and really living in that space of taking your term, because there's so much old programming in there for you. So let's just, everything that's showing me in the field right now, I'm just going to bundle all of that up right now. And I'm going to put that into a past, present, future triad. And we're just going to clear all of that, inverting that all now back into the nothingness from which it came, and harmonize. And we want to do some more layering. We're going to do a tension, relaxation, and effort triad directly over your body. We're going to layer that with a conscious, subconscious, non-conscious mind triad. And inside that, we're going to do a physical intelligence, structural integration, and fitness triad directly over that one. And inside that, we're just going to clear all remaining issues having to do with weaknesses to dancing with fear in this lifetime. So clearing those out now down to zero minus infinity and harmonize all levels, all dimensions, and all lifetimes. Take a deep breath in, please. Deep breath out. Okay. Also weaknesses to having been trampled. Like all these associations are popping in. I'm just going to pluck them out of the field. So we have being trampled. We're clearing you to that. You're showing me like being in these situations, like entrapment situations where evacuations are going on, and there's an association there to the tension piece. So again, there's misperceptions around the tension that we're actually talking about here with Seth. It's almost like it's anywhere that tension shows up metaphorically, it's mixed in with the one that Seth's defining here. So I'm trying to separate those out so that the one that Seth's defining you guys can actually get excited about. So we're clearing out that. There's, okay, you got people jumping off of roofs in fires here. A lot of tragic elements. So how many specific, we're going to call them tragedy incidents. How many do we have here? Okay, we have over 3,000. So I'm going to clear all of those from collective field here. And I'm going to clean up the accumulative effects of those, including all memories, imprints, and remains. So we're just going to swipe that from the slate down to zero minus infinity and harmonize. Okay. And I'm just being pulled by the field. We're going over to Parallel Universe 303 because it's showing up as the perfect climate for where you're actually seeking out tension, and from a real grounded place, a place of flow and grounded in alignment, like you're an old pro at it. So it's still exciting, like tension should be exciting, but it's sort of old game for you. Like you're good at it, you know you're good at it, and you know that, as Seth had said earlier in something I read to you guys, you know that in the long run, and even in the short run, it will all be okay. It's funny because there's vocal choruses coming out of this dimension that are singing about how it'll all be okay. It's like some anthem or something they're doing. So I'm just going to 2-point you guys into that dimension here so you can connect with all the patternings that you need to. And there we go. We're settling you in now. So please just take a nice deep breath in as I do that. Deep breath out. Okay, that was good. Yeah, that's okay. That's shifting a lot there. Awesome. Okay. So I just want to go back and test you guys for living in the tension, avoiding the tension. Okay, good. You're looking good there. Dancing with the fear. Okay. Okay. Okay, so dancing with the fear looks a lot better. Now what's coming up is dancing with the humiliation. Y'all are like, yeah, no, not playing that game. Maybe I'll dance with fear, dancing with humiliation. I don't want to go over there. So I want to track the humiliation piece for you guys. God, most of this, they're showing up almost as, what do they call those things? Like urban legends, right? It's like these urban legends about humiliation, right? And most of you, yeah, I just want to track here. Yeah, most of you guys have really built up in your head this thing about humiliation. in ways that are much bigger than humiliation you've actually experienced, right? And when I say built it up in your head, yes, but you built it up in your head and it's showing up again, almost like this film in the body, like this sticky film that's gotten stuck there. And it's just waiting to get activated for, by the first opportunity of humiliation that could come your way, right? Terrible, isn't it? Let's get rid of that. Yeah. So I'm just going to invert everything that's showing up with this film layer in the body. Interesting, too, it's all showing up on the left side, not the body. Right seems clear. It's all on the left side. So I don't know why it's showing up there, and we don't need to know why. But I'm just dissolving that out now, including any patterns associated with this. Clear. Okay. And I want to correct left to right, right to left side of the body for you so you can kind of rebalance now without that. Okay, good. Okay, ooh. Okay, and right as I do that, frequency 6 is just shooting in. It's coming straight into the field. It's literally piercing through the third eye, going out the back of the head, and then just beaming straight upward. Okay. So do we want to loop? We do. We want to loop that with frequency 8 because frequency 8 is now coming in. Okay. So I'm just going to merge that straight in. I'm putting this actually straight in through like just below your solar plexus. So we're going to insert and activate and harmonize. And let's just harmonize all frequencies that, because we've collected a number there that come into the field. We want them all harmonized together, working, functioning together at all levels, mental, emotional, physical, etheric, and spiritual. Harmonize. Okay, take another deep breath in, please. Deep breath out. Tapping your heart center, 1, 2, 3, and saying now. And stepping into this now moment. And let's make you 100% strong 100% of the time to being able, willing, ready, deserving, committed to taking your term, seeking out the tension. And let's make you 100% strong 100% of the time to being totally neutral to that experience. And to seeing it play out, believing it, expecting it, imagining that it brings forth for you everything you've been desiring to come forth into your reality, making you 100% strong 100% of the time to that now at all levels, all dimensions, and all lifetimes. And I just, before we go back in, I just want to strengthen the mitochondria of all cells to 100% strong right now. And I want to optimize the lymphatic system because it's just trying to process everything here. So we're optimizing now. And let's also just optimize energy circulation, blood circulation. And while we're at it, let's just optimize hydration and oxygen now. Okay, good. That looks good. All right. So let's dive in to some more what to do when it's your turn. Ooh, you guys, we're getting to some of my favorite passages here. Okay, here we go. Artistic obligation. What do we owe the singer who trained for years to sing us that song? What do we owe the person who spoke up at the meeting with a brand new idea? We have all sorts of moral and cultural obligations, but the artist must act as if we owe her nothing. We might, in fact, want to applaud her, motivate her to do it again. We might buy from her, endorse her, or cheer the artist on. And if we do, great. But the productive artist refuses to incur an artistic obligation. But the productive artist refuses to incur an artistic obligation. She acts as though the audience doesn't owe her anything. And forgiving them in advance gives her the freedom to make the work she needs to make. The flip side, though, is also true. The productive artist must act as if she owes the audience and in unlimited measure. If the audience doesn't respond, the artist ought to make more work anyway. You the artist, ought to do it again and again, not because you're owed, but because you owe our culture and yourself the art. As Neil Gaiman has said, when it doesn't work, make better art. You don't take your turn because you're going to get an obligatory encouragement. No. You take your turn because you can, because it's your obligation. Breathe in. Breathe out. The nature of a gift. The best gift requires little of the recipient. The giver doesn't say, "I worked hard to bring you this gift. You must love it, use it, embrace it. You must be grateful to me for how much I put into this gift. This gift controls you." Of course not. The best gift is accompanied by, "Here, I made this. Do with it as you will." When you overstate the obligation of the audience, of course they'll let you down. And when they do, you don't have to show up again. And when they do, you don't have to show up again. What a great excuse to stop making your art, to hide. It's not your turn to win, or your turn to be picked, or even your turn to be guaranteed gratitude. It's merely your turn to give a gift. Breathe in. Breathe out. Far better than they deserve. And yes, FYI, this is my favorite page in the whole book. The drugstore near my house has an antique tin ceiling. It has a longtime staff of caring, literate professionals. They stock the obscure and the wonderful. And at the drop of a hat, people walk away from all that to save 10 cents on shaving cream at the local Walgreens. The artisan at the farmer's market has a little booth, but there's always a table with free samples, a chance to taste something new, engage with the farmer, and buy something. Every week, people descend on the samples, eat all they can, and walk away with no intent at all of ever buying anything. An author works for years on a book, and a callous critic attacks it without even reading it. The audience in the theater, distracted by their cell phones, talks through the entire movie, never giving it a chance. The craftsman puts extra effort into the welt of the shoe, the shoe that will be worn by someone who will never, ever appreciate it. And don't forget the boss who creates a magical workplace, not just stocked with snacks and a free lunch, but with respect and opportunity, only to discover that employees used to the old regime take advantage of the freedom to do less, not to create and invent. But sometimes, somehow, against all this bad behavior, we persist. We persist in creating things that are generous, wonderful, and out of the box. We make things better than they need to be, not because we expect to be repaid, or because the market deserves it, or is even part of the bargain. No, only because we can. Breathe in. Breathe out. Making promises that the market can't keep, won't keep, or doesn't even know about. If you're expecting a response, counting on gratitude, seeking applause, you've just made a promise on behalf of someone who isn't actively part of the conversation, who didn't sign up for this deal. You've given power away to someone who doesn't care as much as you do. You've given power away to someone who doesn't care as much as you do. In the traditional scarcity-based economy, the exchange is everything. If you do this, I will do that. If you give me corn, I will give you money. If you sign up for this, I'll deliver it to you. That's not going to go away. Mutual promises drive our culture. But this transaction focus robs us of our ability to create true gifts. And worse, it gives us a place to hide. We can say, they don't get it. They won't do it. They didn't come through. Most of all, we say, they don't deserve it. And so we back off and start complying instead of creating. The casting agent has taken advantage of my goodwill in the past. This customer will never be through town again, and he's a lousy tipper. I can tell. And so we push ourselves away from connection. We sell ourselves short because people always let us down. What if we didn't give them a chance to let us down? Miles Davis sometimes performed with his back to the audience. He was letting them go, forgiving them, playing to play, not for applause. Here, I made this, can be the beginning and the end of a conversation. You got to make it. That's your compensation. You got to take your turn. You dared. That's enough. Breathe in. Breathe out. Luck School. Researcher Richard Wiseman writes, my research revealed that lucky people generate good fortune via four basic principles. They are skilled at creating and noticing opportunities, make lucky decisions by listening to their intuition, create self-fulfilling prophecies via positive expectations, and adopt a resilient attitude that transforms bad luck into good. In other words, you can learn to be lucky. In other words, you can learn to be lucky. You can pay attention to opportunities to contribute, to moments where you can speak up and make a difference. You can open yourself up to the voice of intuition, largely by distinguishing it from the resistance, the voice of fear, the noise in your head that's prattling on to distract you. You can create self-fulfilling prophecies by saying yes and meaning it. Yes, this might work. Yes, let's try. And finally, you can train yourself to be resilient so that bad luck is temporary instead of a fork in the road. Go to Luck School on purpose. Do it with intention. You'll learn. Breathe in. Breathe out. All right, so let's just dive into that field again, my dear ones. Okay, there's a lot of stuff coming up around really seeing, it's almost like a sadness is coming in the field about recognizing, it's like there's this level of knowingness for you guys that a ton and a ton and a ton and a ton of opportunities have passed you by because you haven't grabbed them. It's almost like recognizing the gifts that have been, so let's just, all the grief that is really unnecessary for you right now and actually doesn't help you really process anything out, we're just going to clear that from the field so that doesn't rob you of the true focus at hand here, okay? So we're clearing that, including all remnants and remains. You're showing me these emotional tangents coming up. And really, it's grief, fear, anger, grief, fear, anger, grief, fear, anger. And they almost like swirl together. They're like a chorus. They hang out together, and they're like, I'll sing first, you go next, I'll go next, sort of thing. So everything that is, and all the strategies that they've kind of concocted together to sort of keep you off track, off the map, and away from this thing called seeking out and grasping your opportunities, we're just going to wind those up. We're going to toss those into a past, present, and future triad. And what else? And we're going to overlay that triad with a money, sex, and freedom triad. And we're going to overlay that with a direct karma, indirect karma, and partial karma. Yeah, partial karma triad. Okay. And we're also going to lay on top of that a triad of yourself, mother, and father. Okay, that's really kicking some shit up. All right. Bingo. Okay, so with all those layered, okay, hold on, you're taking me somewhere else. So before we clear in there, there's DNA issues we want to toss in. And actually a lot of dead issues coming from mom's side and dad's side. So we're going to toss all their issues inside as well, because in clearing theirs, we're actually really positively affecting yours, as in the deletion of yours. And actually, we're kind of making it harder for you to, moving forward to collect more dead issues so easily. And when I say so easily, I mean so unconsciously. It's almost like it'll break up the awareness for you to realize, oh shit, I just grabbed a dead issue. Yeah, I want to drop that ASAP. So inside all of those, we're just going to delete all unknown issues from this lifetime, past lifetimes, parallel and future lifetimes, clearing those out now at all levels. Okay. Mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. Psychic's looking good. As I'm clearing that, we have, there's 411 negative life experiences that are popping into the field, and they're showing me that these are origin points for the topic we're covering right now. So we're just going to delete the origin points, all 411 of those, clearing those now at all levels, all dimensions, and all lifetimes. Okay. And they're asking for the clearing of the impact of those, and some of the impact of those are actually health issues. Health issues related to you, like physical health issues, and physical health issues related, again, to family members for you. So we want to correct all weaknesses to those, to your personal health issues, to the family member health issues, and vice versa, correcting them to you in your issues. Correct, harmonize all levels, all dimensions, and all lifetimes. Take a deep breath in, please. Deep breath out, tapping your heart center, 1, 2, 3, and saying now out loud and stepping into this now moment. Okay. Now let's just make you 100% strong for creating and noticing opportunities, for seeking them out, grabbing them with no shame, no fear. No, and you're showing me these accusations of ulterior motives, like you're afraid of people accusing you of having ulterior motives for what? Taking your turn? Seeking opportunity? Right? Are you catching the ridiculousness of this? This crap that we buy into, you guys? Everything that is, I am balling that up. It's almost like this yarn that's showing up. And I'm tossing that sucker into the black hole of the universe, never to be seen again. And we're just going to check if you guys are strong to that, and you are. Good. Okay. We're also going to optimize you for following the voice of intuition versus fear. And I'm going to correct you to intuition to you, you and intuition to the universe back to you and intuition. Correct, harmonize, all levels, all dimensions, and lifetimes. We're optimizing for strength, endurance, flexibility, coordination, agility, and speed. Optimizing structure, system, tissue, molecule, quantum particle, now, all levels. And we're going to correct for same, not same, change, no change. Correct, harmonize. Okay. We're also going to optimize you for positive expectations, making you 100% strong 100% of the time, for creating them, for dreaming them into life, for being the energy of them that brings them into life, optimizing you for that now. at all levels. We're also going to optimize you for resilience, right? And for, actually, I want to find that for you. So, yeah, let's just plug you guys into the morphic field of all the people on the planet. Let's make it, oh my gosh, how about, I was making it hard. We're going to plug you into the morphic field of all the people on the planet who are graduates of Lux School, Seth's Lux School, right? So they have all those components. They're noticing the opportunities. They're listening to their intuition. They're living the positive expectation life versus the negative expectation life, and they're fully optimized for resilience. So where is that? That's up here in the northeast. Okay. So I'm connecting you in now. We're plugging you into that morphic field. Okay. Awesome. Take a deep breath in. Deep breath out. Good job, guys. Okay. Moving right along. To be an artist. To be an artist is to be on the hook, to take your turn, to do things that might not work, to seek connection, to embrace generosity first. To take responsibility, to change someone, to be human. Breathe in. Breathe out. On the hook. Some people hate this. If it's actually up to you, your turn is just waiting to be taken, if the microphone is right here, then who's responsible when you back away? If acquired traits like resilience and persistence and generosity are more important than genes and talent, then who can we possibly point to when things don't go well? It's the other people. It's the bureaucracy. It's the unfair system. Blaming anyone but us is soothing and comfortable. The alternative is to be on the hook, to see the opportunity that comes with freedom, the choice to make a difference and to matter. Being on the hook is a privilege. It means the people around us are trusting us to contribute, counting on us to deliver. It's not something to be avoided. Breathe in. Breathe out. Someone's been here before you. Memo to that entrepreneur who is certain that the world is about to end, because the unique set of pressures, promises, and opportunities bearing down is such a perfect problem, it's never been experienced quite like this before. It has. Mostly, a memo to the struggling human who faces the abyss of taking a turn and is sure that this is the end of everything. It's not. Promise. Someone has been here before you. In fact, almost everyone you admire has. It seems like an abyss, like the valley of no return. But in fact, this is precisely the way it's supposed to feel. It's that valley that insulates this territory from the rest of our ordinary lives, that keeps this work scarce, that gives us a sense that we're doing something truly important. Don't deny the feeling, or run from it, or try to stomp it out. Celebrate this fear and this thrill, because it's the dance you're about to do that will make the work worth doing. Breathe in. Breathe out. So let's just see what's keeping you from being on the hook and making friends with that place called the abyss, right? We want to be friendly there, don't we? Okay, so let's just show me about being on the hook. Okay, there's a lot of dad energy coming in around that. So, and it's like unresolved dad issue stuff with being on the hook. So every unresolved conflict having to do with father or just even male energy, right? Male authority figures, right? Everything that is, let's just invert that from the field. And I want to correct everyone here to their fathers. So you to your dad, dad to you, you and your dad to the universe back to you and your dad. Correct harmony. Okay. Yeah. So you're showing me like you dropping from the hook, like literally being on a hook and then falling from the hook, like falling from graces, falling from just a position where you're kind of at eye level with others, where you're respected, you're seen, you're honored, and all of that. And it's like, boom, once you fall from the hook, your butt kind of hits the pavement and you're down there, obviously in some failing sort of position. So everywhere that showed up for you in this lifetime, everywhere that you've been on the hook and you failed and you kind of made it an end of story thing for you, like, whoop, can't just reach back up and get on the hook again. Everywhere you've sort of let that take you out. You know, there's this energy of take you out, take you out, take you out, take you out. How many cycles? There's like these cycles coming in. We've got 909 in here cycles of being taken out. So we want to correct you to those 909, clearing those from the field, down to zero minus infinity and harmonize. I also want to clean out the cumulative effects of those. Harmonize. Now, okay, show me what else? The abyss. Oh, well, that's interesting. So there's this really strong desire that's across the board for all of you wanting to really make peace with the abyss. Like, because you're really conscious of the flavors of that is this juicy place. It's like the juiciness in the unknown, right? Not the scary stuff about the unknown, but it's the juiciness. So I'm just going to actually amp up the volume there in the field on that for you. Like, what if we switched it, because you have it showing up. It's like you're 20% connected to the good stuff in being in the abyss, but you're more connected to the 80%, which is like the bad stuff. But it's not really like there's only 20% yumminess in the abyss, right? You can completely flip that. So we're going to flip it, the 80-20, so that 80% yumminess goes to the abyss, and 20%, okay, it's a little scary over here, right? Let's balance that out for you. And let's optimize your ability to perceive that abyss as such, really, as primarily this juicy, satisfying, life-giving, evolutionary, creative, exciting, thrilling energy for you that's really wildly satisfying for you, right? So let's harmonize you to that at the mental, emotional, physical, psychic, spiritual levels. Now, take a deep breath in, please. Deep breath out. Okay, I just want to plug in, what dimension are you actually experiencing total harmony right now, anyway, with the abyss and with being on the hook in tandem? Where is that? Okay. Yeah, you're showing up in, okay, parallel universe 444, actually, is where you're doing that both in tandem, everybody here collectively. So we're just going to two-point you in there. And take a deep breath in and out as I do that, please. Okay, and we're also right now, we're just going to weave in frequency 3, and we're going to shoot that straight up through the bottoms of kind of the arches of your feet right now, so that just travels all the way up the legs, all the way up the left and right side of the body, and straight up and out. Okay, let's just harmonize you to that. Okay. And I just want to go in and check, how are you guys with being on the hook? Okay. Yeah, there's some interesting chatter in the field about it. Some of you are really like cracking open. It's like you're seeing the fortune in being on the hook. And you're seeing it as like, there's a lot of that privilege and fortunate energy that's coming out. So I just want to magnify that. Let's 10 times that for you guys, so that really gets to ripple out and explode more into your life, into your business, right? Into all arenas of your life experience. So multiply that out. Optimize further. Okay, good. That's a nice stretch. Okay. All right. Good job. Well, good work, everyone. Well done. Okay. So I just want to take a moment to let you guys kind of, you know, gently sort of come back to the room here, open your eyes up again, maybe stretch up a little bit. Now, I want to remind you that anytime we shift energy like we did here today, physical reality must shift as well. That's just the law of energy, okay? So I want to invite you then to be on the lookout for noticing what's different in your world moving forward from today's activation. And you can begin really just by simply noticing if your energy feels different right now. So notice, do you feel lighter right now? Do you feel more expansive? Do you feel more peaceful, more powerful? Just really notice for a moment here. And then moving back into your day, notice what's different, like in the weeks to come here, right? About the way you're recognizing and seeking out opportunities for yourself. What's different about it now? And what's different in the way you're showing up to take your turn? What interesting synchronicities are showing up in your world? And what inspired creative ideas are now rising to the surface, for you to rock with, right? Just notice. And maybe kind of in general, like I like to tell people, notice what's different about the way the world is now responding to you and what's different about the way you are now responding to the world, okay? So we want you to be on the lookout for all the positive shifts showing up, because really it's in the noticing that gives those shifts much more life, more expansion, and more power. Right? So you want to blow that energy up and really multiply it. Also, obviously, I highly recommend that all of you guys go out and get yourself a copy of Seth Godin's What to Do When It's Your Turn. Just a heads up, he sold out at Amazon. You can't even get him at Amazon. But you can get his book actually at his website. And that link is www.yourturn.link. I'm also going to send you a copy of that link in an email shortly, so you'll have that on hand too. But really, like, I would be thrilled to death if you guys all went out and picked up a copy. Okay. Now, if you are feeling all fired up to really unleash yourself in some even bigger ways this year and to really take your turn like a rock star, I want to rock with you. I mean, I really want to rock with you guys. And here's how. I'm inviting you to join me for my private 30-day Permission to Rock intensive. So that would be just you, me, and your infinitely brilliant energy field for 30 days of intensive reality shifting energetics. Yeah, baby. You guys, you'll get the link in an email shortly, but you can check it out, the details of this at www.dianabertoldo.com/PTRI, which of course stands for Permission to Rock. And this is essentially what we'll be doing for you. So first, I'm going to be guiding you through a special activation where I connect you to your number one leading desire. So that's the one that's been so perfectly designed for you that it has your name written all over it. It is not the one that you think you can or should attain. It is not the one that doesn't really light you up, that doesn't have any juice to it. And it's not the one that others have told you that you can or you should be working toward right now. It's not that one. I'm talking about the one that your soul is so uniquely encoded to actualize that it's the one that lights you up like no other one will, okay? Once we've activated your leading desire, you're going to fill out your Permission to Rock intake form, which is going to capture everything you're wanting to birth into reality right now, as well as all the blocks and issues that are currently in the way of you doing it. And then you're going to send me your completed materials. I'm going to get those, and I'm going to set all those materials into a customized matrix grid And then I'm going to go in and perform a 90-minute energy assessment and clearing session for you in your field. And I'm going to be doing this while you're off doing whatever it is you do during your day, right? So this is all happening, woo-hoo, in the background in the field while you're carrying on with your day. So basically, what I mean is I'm just going to be connecting in with your field. I'm going to run some diagnostics based on your materials. I'm going to clear out the decoys, and there's always a ton of decoys. And I'm going to identify the primary components that we'll be focusing on when we meet for your intensive experience with me. Once that's complete and I know, like, thumbs up over here, we're ready to rock, you and I are going to meet over the phone for your 90-minute energy hacking intensive, right? We're going to decode your field of the energetic patterns that are currently denying you access to that leading desire. And we're going to install the new energy permissions that allow you to really just step up, take your turn, align, fully aligned and in flow with your desire. You get to leave the intensive, feeling just much lighter, much more expansive, and super inspired to take your turn and get into action toward that desire. From there, you're going to start just immediately diving into your permission to rock resources that I'm going to be giving you. So you'll start utilizing the specific tools and recommendations that I put together for you so that you can confidently stay in aligned action toward your desired outcome. And while you're moving ahead at the speed of light, doing your part, expanding the energy, staying in the flow of aligned action, your fairy godmother energist over here, that'd be me, will be tuning into your energy field and performing optimizations every single day for the next 21 days following your session. Cool, right? So I'm going to be doing that for 21 days straight in tandem with everything else you're doing over there to bring your desire into full-blown reality. Then at the end of the 21-day cycle, we're going to come back together for your 60-minute strategy and integration call. So that's where we're going to check in on your progress. We're going to strategize even deeper moving forward, and we're going to amplify your alignment all the way to the finish line. Also, if you happen to be one of the first four people who's listening to me right now and is saying, oh, hell yes, I want to do this, if you're one of the first four to register, I'm going to send you a copy of Seth Godin's What to Do When It's Your Turn for my own personal stash over here, okay? So the 30-day Permission to Rock Intensive is regularly priced at $2,500, and today you guys have the opportunity to get it for just $1,500. I'm calling this my Your Turn pricing today, okay? So that's $1,000 you're going to save today, and really because I want to make it super easy for you guys to step up and take your turn in massive ways this year, massive. Now, as you can see, the 30-day intensive requires a pretty significant time and energy commitment from me to you. And because it's a big commitment, I only take 4 clients each month for the intensive. So I'm happy to book you guys, you know, into the future. I just want you to know that, kind of have that heads up as you register here, because I'm going to be serving everyone on a first-come, first-served basis. So just keep that in mind, you know, as you register. So if this opportunity really excites you, if you want to optimize your creative energy potential and really wipe out everything keeping you from actualizing your leading desires and making your mark with your work and your brilliance, then please, 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 I want to rock with you. So shoot over to dianabertoldo.com/PTRI, click the buy button, and we'll get you scheduled for your 30-day Permission to Rock Intensive ASAP. Okay? Cool. Now, closing out here today, I want to recommend that you guys, as you leave here today, please be sure to drink plenty of water. I know people say that on calls, you know, maybe even often. I actually really mean it. We've shifted a ton of energy for you today. So hydrating is a really smart thing to do right now. And I promise you, it's absolutely going to positively affect your integration. Okay? So please don't skip that step. Cool. I want to thank all of you for spending this time with me in service of unleashing your brilliance. I hope you're feeling way more inspired and aligned than ever to get out there and to take your turn again and again and again. And if you are and you're doing really cool taking your turn things, email me. I want to hear about it. I want to get excited about it with you. So until next time, I'm sending you all so much love. Please keep rocking. Please keep doing your art. Keep putting out there the work that matters. Mwah. I'll see you guys soon.